that bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. In 3 John chapter 1 and verse 2, the Word of God says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth." I wish above all things that you may prosper. He's saying, the apostle is speaking, and he's saying, my desire for you is that you may prosper. Today, in this age, we have a huge move towards prosperity. People are very interested in prosperity. And in some cases, it almost is equivalent to spirituality in people's thinking. Sometimes in Christianity, we find people who will talk about politics and they will say, you know, this prosperous and free to make money, and there's a place for that. I'm not against those things. And we see this freedom as in our physical material prosperity as being somehow right and equivalent to spirituality, and those people who would not have that same thought as not being spiritual or right or something like that. And again, I personally believe that people should have freedom to pursue what the Constitution has guaranteed us. And so what I want to talk a little bit about today is along those lines. I want to talk about how to get rich. How to get rich. That's the title of this message, How to Get Rich. And we're going to talk about how to get rich. Because there is like a very big concern, especially in this age, with how to be rich. We've got bad economies around the world that are threatening our own economy. We've got a presidential election with two men with very different and opposing viewpoints of what prosperity is and how it would come. So I want to talk about what the Bible says about how to get rich. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. And this is what we all desire. Now, what does it mean, this portion about as my soul prospers? See, we have this tendency, I want to be rich, I want to prosper. And then we forget that as my soul prospers. David challenged God. He basically gave him this challenge. Prosper me. Test me with prosperity. And I know there's a lot of people out there who would say, amen. Test me with prosperity too. I'm ready to prosper, God. Let's do it. Test me with the Mega Millions jackpot. All it cost me was a buck. And so we are ready to prosper. He has made all things beautiful in its time. In Ecclesiastes 3:11, He has also planted eternity in men's hearts. And I'm reading in the Amplified. He has also planted eternity in men's hearts and minds, a divinely implanted sense of purpose working through the ages, which nothing under the sun but God alone can satisfy. Yet so that men cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. He has planted eternity in our hearts and our minds. If I have a mindset that is toward this world, then I will be impoverished. Yet much of Christianity today has a mindset that is toward this world. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Revelation chapter 3. And starting in verse 14, the Word of God says, "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot." God says, I know what you're about. I know your works. I know your life. You're not cold. You're not hot. You have your Bible, you have your church, you like it, you read it, you go every Sunday morning. But you're not cold, you're not hot. I'd rather you be one way or the other. But I go to church every Sunday morning. Yes, you do. I have a nice, respectable church and a nice, respectable job. I don't make waves and I get promoted. I'm now at upper level, approaching upper level management. Maybe I'm the vice president of whatever or another. And that's fine. Good for you. There's nothing wrong with that. If God has that for you, then great. But is this your life? Is this your focus? Is this what your purpose is? You see, my purpose is to have a nice family, is it not? Isn't that, what's wrong with that? There's nothing wrong with that. I have a nice family. I'm all for a nice family, by the way. That's good. I want to raise my children well. I want them to go to a good college. I want them to get a good job. I want them to have a good career so they can have a nice family too and have a nice vacation in the summertime, and that's good. And I want them to be able to buy whatever house they want, whatever car they want. I want them to be able to get what they desire to make them happy, and that's good. And of course, Christ is important in the mix. Yeah, church is good. I don't want to really talk about it too much. I don't want to push my kids into something too much, because after all, they have to make their own choices. And if I push them, those will be my choices. And how will they ever learn to choose if I choose for them? Really? The Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, and he will not depart from it when he is old. How many Christians train up children in the way they should go? And how many Christians say, well, I can't choose for my kid. I have to let my kid make their own choices. Train up a child in the way he should go, the Bible says. So I have to let my kid make their own choices. See, there's a schism there. The Bible says, train the child in the way that should go. The Bible doesn't say, let your kid make their own choices. The Bible says that your child will know how to make the right decisions because you've trained them to do so, not because you've allowed them the liberty, so-called liberty, to operate in whatever decision they choose. You see, that young little flesh is always going to choose according to the flesh. But what's wrong with it? What's wrong with the things that I desire? What's wrong with it? Nothing at all. Nothing at all. There's nothing wrong with a nice house, a good job, a nice car, a nice family. There's nothing wrong with that at all. And nobody is saying that there is. I know your works, that you are not cold, you're not hot. And I would, paraphrased, I would prefer if you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I'm going to vomit you out of my mouth. And that word, I will, if you study it in the original language, it means I am definitely about to vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing and know not that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Now, what kind of a message on how to get rich is this? God's message on how to get rich. It's in your Bible. Do you believe the Bible? Well, I believe the Bible is a bunch of good stories, and I think there's a good principles for living. I don't know if I would take it that seriously as to say it's every word of God. I think it contains the word of God. I think you're not saved. Revelation 22. I counsel you to buy of me. You see, here's a gold. Hey, this is, now we're getting somewhere. How to get rich. I counsel you to buy of me gold. You hear that? Gold. Try it in the fire. Oops. What do you mean, try it in the fire? I counsel you to buy of me gold, try it in the fire, that you may be rich. Isn't this why some people out there are listening and probably getting to, hey, I'm going to turn this off in a minute. Yeah, just give it one more second. That you may be rich. You want to be rich? This is how you go about doing it. This is God's way of getting rich. I counsel you to buy of me gold, try in the fire, that you may be rich. That you may have white raiment, that you may be clothed, and that the shame of your nakedness do not appear. And anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. We have this thing, where we want to be rich. Now, being rich is not sin by any means. I would never say that being rich is sin. There's many wonderful, wealthy believers who love God with all their heart. There's nothing wrong with it. But you see, there's a little picture that exists on a lot of corners in this town and a lot of towns that I've been in, where you have this nice brick church building with its school in the back and its nice parking lot out on the side, with its nicely dressed, respectable looking people coming every Sunday morning, and then they sometimes have the church potluck dinner and visitation at the hospital. When somebody gets sick, the pastor will visit them, and they have a little carnival once in a while and stuff like that, a little vacation Bible school. It's going on, right? There's one problem, though. There's a serious problem, though. You see, that's not being rich. That's not being rich. That's not what God has that He calls riches. You may have all the money in the world, but that's still not being rich. I found it interesting, a very famous actor, everybody would know his name if I said it, was interviewed one time on a national talk show. I saw the interview. And he said, I worked for years, and the man is very wealthy. He's very wealthy. He said, I worked for years, and I clawed, and I worked so hard. And then when I finally got to the top, I looked around, and I found nothing was there. Did it ever occur to you why the rich person needs more riches? Because nothing is there. Now, there's nothing wrong with possessing riches, but nothing is there. I like sometimes I look at the television, and there's this channel that gets like shows houses, people buying houses. And I think it's kind of interesting to see the different types of houses and what's out there. We're remodeling parts of our house for the 14th year. And it's just like going and looking at houses and, you know, look at what people do in their homes and what builders do and what designers do. And I found something interesting. I watched the other day out of curiosity something about million-dollar rooms. I don't know if you've ever heard of it, but it's kind of interesting. Million-dollar rooms. You know, I wouldn't actually want to live in that room. It struck me interesting. $1 million room after another, I said, I like my room better. And they had a lot of space and they had a lot of stuff, but they didn't have a lot of warmth. They didn't have a lot of character. They didn't have a lot of sweetness to the place. But there was a lot of stuff. And I'm sure it's comfortable and nothing wrong with having it if it's yours, that's fine. I wouldn't criticize somebody for having it. It's just my own taste. I wouldn't want it. It's not something that I would be comfortable in. You see, there's something about this rich thing. We want to be rich. But there's something about it that's a problem. You know what the problem is with a nice brick church with the white steeple and the school in the back and the vacation Bible school and everybody nice and respectable inside? And it's not because it's made of brick. The brick has nothing to do with it. This is it right here in Psalm 2:8. You see, we have this thing about being rich. We have this thing about reasonable comfort, and once a year we'll go down to Guatemala and build a church or build a roof or floor. Ask of me and I will give you the heathen for your inheritance. Ask of me, God says, and I will give you the heathen for an inheritance and the outermost part of the earth for your possession. What I'd like to know is how many believers who are good conservative Christians ask for the heathen as their inheritance. God doesn't offer another inheritance. Why is it so important that eternity is in our hearts? You see, there is no distinction between time and eternity. We live in eternity today. And though we may say to ourselves, I'm not in eternity, I'm in time, I'm here on earth, and eventually I will be in heaven, and yes, that is true. But eternity is not separable from time. Time exists within eternity. You see, Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is within you, now. And so we live in eternity, and what I would like from God is a real inheritance. The wealth that I crave, the wealth that people slave after, the wealth they gamble away, the wealth that they just want so much is nothing more than heaven's pavement. It's like, hey, I'm really after concrete. I want more concrete. And really, this is what people are after. It really is. They're after concrete. And the more concrete they get, the better off they are. And they spend unbelievable amounts of time, unbelievable portions of their lives, striving for more concrete. Why? And they follow the stock market. And there's nothing wrong with being well-to-do. And there's nothing wrong with being a good steward of your money. I'm all for those things. But is that your purpose? Have you actually asked God to give you the heathen for a real inheritance? That's the thing. See, all the concrete you have, all the gold you may have, is not going to do you one bit of good. You know why people want it? This is why people want gold. I'll tell you why. And this is the bottom line of it. People love bills. And the bigger bill they get, the happier they are. And if they have a way of having these huge bills in a way that doesn't scare them, they're delighted. Because people love bills. Now, I don't know about anybody else, but I'm not that in love with my electric bill. Well, we're not thinking electric bill. We're thinking more like for the Mercedes. There's nothing wrong with owning a Mercedes, but do you crave that bill? I don't crave the bill. I crave the ability to pay it. I remember being soul winning in Baltimore City. Man had $10 million in the morning and 10 cents in the evening. Interesting bookends to the day. He lost his entire wealth in one day. Don't think that can't happen to the big fat billionaire types. That can happen in a day. And God can do it. On the other hand, God can give you whatever in a day. And He can do that too. You see, that thing that you rely on, those riches are fleeting. They're not reliable. And even if you manage to hold on to them and accumulate more, there's one problem. They're going to stay here. They're going to stay here. The psalmist says, ask of me, and he's quoting God, ask of me and I will give you the heathen for an inheritance. And, get this, the uttermost parts of the earth as your possession. Now we're talking. Property, real estate. I can go anywhere in the world and have a friend whose house I can stay in. A lot of us can. If I wanted to tomorrow, I could go to Indonesia and my buddy Mark, Pastor Mark, and I could hang out at his house with him. If I wanted, I could go to Mumbai tomorrow and my buddy Carl, and I could hang out with him. If I wanted to, I could go to Finland and I have friends in Finland, I can hang out with them. I could go to South Korea and I have friends there and I could hang out with them. I could go to South America and I can hang out with my friends, and a lot of these say, hey, come on, you sleep in my house. Let's have a good time together. And a lot of us can. You see, when you get into this place where you ask God for the heathen for your inheritance, He gives you the heathen and the whole world. But we have this mentality today about this tangible riches, how to pay my bills and how I can have big fat ones and be free to have big bills. Well, I'm not against that freedom. I think the Constitution is very good and the provisions and the protections it gives us. And I think that the writers of the Constitution were men of great wisdom and foresight. And that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the heart. It always struck me odd. I'll see, there's like a few actors that in particular I think are like this. They're like these major wealthy people. They have scores of millions of dollars and they're sucking on that $12 bottle of booze that the guy in the street is sucking on. It's the very same bottle. You see, we worry about this thing. But God says that He supplies my need. God says that He doesn't just supply it, but He supplies it according to His riches in glory. God says that He will not suffer me to beg for bread. And so I have this thing that's a little bit different than the world has, but a lot of Christians don't seem to get this. That when the heathen is my desire for an inheritance, God provides me with all my needs. And so let me ask you something. If you have a bed in a big room or a bed in a small room, how dark is the night? Really? I'm serious. You have a bed in a big room and a bed in the small room. How dark is the night? But it's almost like people say, well, if it's in the big room, the night is darker. If it's in the small room, it's not as dark. What do I mean? If you have a big bedroom with a lot of opulent things in it, it's somehow better sleeping? I find it interesting, you go into hotels. Now, if a place is shady or dirty or something, I wouldn't want to sleep there either. But you take this normal, let's say, I don't know, I don't want to really plug any place, but this normal chain hotel that does a reasonably good job, and you take this like maybe super deluxe luxury hotel, how well do you sleep? How dark is the room? It's not going to make much difference. The back of my eyelids look the same no matter where I am. But people, believers, strive after these riches. But you know what? God says through the apostle, I would that you prosper. So let's take a look at what that means. In Luke chapter 12 and verse 16, the Word of God says that Jesus spoke a parable saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. Okay, this is rich. He's rich, he's got his business, he's making money, and he's successful and he's prospering. Good. And he thought within himself saying, what shall I do because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? In other words, I got so much prosperity going on, I can't hold it all. Maybe I should start a chain. Right? Maybe I should invest more. Maybe I should diversify. And there's nothing wrong with doing those things. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have money goods, much goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat and drink and be merry. But God said unto him, you fool. That's serious business when God says this. It's one thing if the guy across the street who doesn't like you says this. But if God says this, this is significant. This has weight to it. You fool. And actually, the word you, thou, it's not even in the original. God says, fool. That's how God knew this guy. Fool. This night, your soul shall be required of you. Then whose shall those things be which you have provided? So is he that lays up treasure for himself, which is not rich toward God. Now, it didn't say, so is he just who lays up treasure for himself. It says, who is not rich toward God. You see, if God happens to bless you with prosperity in business, or you have a certain acumen for making money or whatever, good for you. But those aren't your riches, and they never will be. You may think of them as such, but they never will be. What is riches? What are riches? We tend to try to accumulate. We like the nest egg. And there's nothing wrong with having that. And we devote our lives to this. But there's a problem. And the problem is in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19. It says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust do corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust corrupt, where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will be your heart also. I find it interesting how many believers will cross the country in search of $10,000, $15,000, $20,000, $30,000 more than they're making now. Maybe even more than that. And the call of God is not a consideration to them. The call of God is not a thought. And they say to themselves, I'll go to church, I'll find a church when I get there. Don't you know that the church is the most important thing in your life? Outside of your family, and that is what will often define your family, and it will raise up your family. Yet people say to us, I'll go across the country because there's $15,000 more there. Yet I know people who've sacrificed things that were far more valuable than that $50,000 a year raise. I know people who've lost families over these things. God says, fool. Lay your treasure up in heaven, not on the earth. Now, this is not a message against rich people. It's not a message for them or against them. It's not a message about them. This is a message about the heart. In Ephesians 3:8, the apostle said that God had given him the grace to preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of God. That's pretty good, don't you think? Wouldn't you like so many riches that they're unsearchable? Like you can't even get to the end of them, so you can't count them? Well, this is what God offers. Unsearchable riches of Christ. Now, if any man builds on the foundation that he has laid in 1 Corinthians 3:12, gold, silver, and precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. Every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he has built thereupon, he shall receive reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Now, let's go back for a moment to Ecclesiastes. God has put eternity in their heart. If a person thinks that life is here and now, then they have a small view of life. This isn't life, this is its beginning. 70 years, 80 years, 90 years is prep time. That's just our preparation. Life hasn't started yet. Life is going to come when I go into the New Jerusalem. And my purpose here on earth is the same as my Savior's, to seek and to save that which was lost, to be conformed to the image of Christ, to grow in grace and knowledge of Him. That is the purpose that I live for as a believer, because that is the purpose He has given me. How many believers live for that purpose? How many believers live for the lost, for winning the lost? Well, that's your inheritance. It's like we have Mitt Romney, and he is a very wealthy man, but his money came as an inheritance. We have the ability to get an inheritance from God. That inheritance is the heathen. Why are the heathen my inheritance? Because if you accept a disciple in the name of a disciple, you will receive the disciple's reward. What is this saying? That when I am one with my pastor, I will receive my pastor's reward, but also my pastor will receive my rewards. In other words, the reward that I know, and this is what Paul said, that he will not know his full reward, that you cannot know your full reward until the end of time. But when I am one with these believers, then everything that my life has impacted, I get rewarded for, because that is the fruit of my life. And if I am supportive and one with my pastor, I receive his rewards and he receives mine. So let's say that I hand a tract to somebody because I take God seriously and say, give me the heathen as my inheritance. And that person receives Christ. And let's say that that person witnesses to somebody else in 3 years and they receive Christ. And that person takes a trip, and on the airplane he talks to the person sitting next to them, and that person receives Christ because of the conversation. And that person has some money to invest, and he's wealthy and nobody knew it, but they get the Holy Spirit comes into their hearts and he puts it on their hearts. As they get saved, it comes into their hearts, and then he puts it on their heart, hey, why don't you give some money to these missionaries, or why don't you give some money to this church, or why don't you give this some money to this group that's winning the lost? And that money has a lot, and it doesn't have to be money, it can be anything, it's just one example. That money has a lot maybe for an orphanage to be built where Christian children are developed into Christian servants. Like we do in Africa, we have those orphanages, and little kids are trained to, they're loved and they're raised by people who love them, and they teach them the Bible, and they're trained, and often many of them become pastors or whatever capacity God would have, and of course they're allowed to make those choices, but they're trained that way. Now say one of those kids starts planting churches, and God calls him to be a church planter, and he plants a church in one place and get 150 people who are faithful, and God calls him to another place and he plants a church there, another 230 people are faithful, and because he has the vision, he teaches these people to be soul winners. And each of those people are then winning the individual souls and bringing them in, and Bible college and Sunday school and children being saved and adults being saved and fruit and disciples being made. Then he goes to another place and plants a third church. This time he has 75 people. And he starts a Bible college and a Sunday school and church, and people are being trained and they become soul winners. And starts another church a few years later, and now he's got 412 people. And starts his Sunday school and all this. That first person who witnessed to the person who witnessed to the person who witnessed to the person who gave the money to pay for the orphanage that trained up that person, that first person gets every single reward after them. This is why it's called an inheritance. If you want real riches, don't store up your treasures here on earth. Store them up in heaven. Ask for the heathen as your inheritance, and God gives you the heathen and the whole planet. The riches in heaven are unsearchable. You can't comprehend the kind of wealth, the reward that God gives. I look at these people who spent their years striving to buy a house that's bigger than the average family's home. And they say, look, I have these big rooms. I have a lot of room to put sofas and chairs. Lots of tables. 4 dining rooms. 6 bedrooms. 12 bedrooms. 15 bathrooms. How many do you use at a time? No waiting. Okay, I get that. You know, I sleep in one bed, and I'm comfortable. But in heaven, the riches are beyond description. And this is what God desires to give us. Wealth that is unsearchable. And he does it through the heathen being our inheritance. You see, being a soul winner is a good economic decision. Not only is it the reason why God came, but why do you think he says in Proverbs 11:30, he that wins souls is wise? Because in every way imaginable, it's a good decision, including my wealth. Now, there are various sources in heaven of wealth, the gold, silver, and precious stones, for example. The faith tried by fire, that is also one, which is more precious than gold. The degrees of glory that God gives me for my momentary light afflictions. The cups of cold water, the wealth that I receive for giving those. But when I simply go for wealth on earth, and that's my life, guys, that's what people live for. And even if they say, oh, I don't need to be a millionaire, I just want to be comfortable and happy. Okay. They strive for mediocrity then. They're still striving for a treasure that is on earth, but not for one that is in heaven. But the Savior said, lay not up for yourself treasures here on earth. Lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. Because here, how long will I get to enjoy that treasure anyway? I was looking at that program, and there's this guy, he looked like he's at least around 60 years old, successful guy, big house, very fancy. Very proud of his house, and there's nothing wrong with having that. But I'm thinking, you know, you might enjoy this house maybe for another 10, 20, 30, if you're really fortunate, 40 years. But that's it. The riches that I get for being a soul winner don't end. It's not a 10, 20, 30, 70 year, 80, 90, 100 year proposition. It's an eternal proposition. They don't end. The greatest riches there are being a soul winner. You know why? It's like multi-level marketing. Amway gone heaven. Why? Because one brings in another and another. And two bring in four, and four bring in eight, and eight bring in 16, and 16 bring in more. That's as high as I can count. And I have this multi-level marketing strategy where I win the lost, I spread the gospel, I give the good news, and God rewards me. But people, one person after another says, I'm too busy. I have too much to do. I can't leave my job. I gotta work. I can't do things. And the wealth that they're giving up. Now, we don't win the loss per se because we think we're gonna make a heavenly buck. But when I win the loss because I have faith, obedience to God, God finds it valuable and He gives me an inheritance. What if nobody responds? Will I be poor? No. God rewards according to the heart. In other words, in God's all knowledge, He knows what could have been as well as what was. Isn't that what happened with the laborers? Where the foreman or the boss hired people throughout the day, and the last one got as much as the first one, and the first one said, this isn't fair, and Jesus and the foreman or boss says to him, what is that to you? You got what we agreed on, and he got what we agreed on. What is that to you? See, we don't count it in the way that the world counts it. But God does give us this promise. He'll give me the heathen as an inheritance. So I win somebody and their life bears fruit. And all the rewards they get in heaven, I will get those also. And they win somebody and their life bears fruit. And all that second generation of believer gets in heaven, the rewards I get also. And that person might win five other people, and those rewards I get also. Multi-level marketing. But better. You know why? No disrespect to the company, but if Amway products are what you're into, they wear out. And the next day, the lady's putting on her makeup again. And she needs to do that again. But with God, it never wears out. What am I selling them? Eternal life. What am I selling them? Joy. What am I selling them? Purpose. What am I selling them? Heaven. What am I selling them? Grace. forgiveness, mercy, loving kindness. And for this, I'm rewarded. I'd get a kick out of it without being rewarded, but you know what? I'll take the reward. I let God bless me through using me, edifies me immensely, and then He rewards me for letting Him do it. You want to get rich? This is how you get rich. Ask God to give you the heathen as an inheritance, because the riches are unsearchable. They're past finding out. In other words, you can't count that high. You want to be rich? That's the way to do it. And these riches don't go away. Amen?